Public hearing regarding this matter. Do we have a representative from the State Bar who wished to speak first regarding this matter? I should have said we have Justice Pickering there on the bench in Las Vegas, which obviously everyone attending can see. And Justice Herndon is appearing remotely by Zoom, and he'll participate in our decision. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chief Justice and Justices, and may it please the court. My name is Richard Dreitzer, and I am here today in my role as President-elect at the State Bar of Nevada. The proposed amendments within ADKT 618 and Supreme Court Rule 42 focus on two key changes. One is waiving fees for pro hoc admissions in Indian Child Welfare Act cases. And the second is to align the rule with previous amendments for clarity and consistency, which is just sort of a cleanup provision. We want to emphasize the State Bar's commitment to fairness, efficiency, and the well-being of Native American children and families, and in line with both the mission of the State Bar of Nevada and broader legal principles. So with regard to the first portion of the ADKT regarding pro hoc vice fees in ICWA cases, the amendments propose to waive the fee of $550 of application fee and renewal fee for non-Nevada attorneys representing Native American tribes in ICWA cases. This reflects the State Bar's commitment to access to justice and equitable representation, and the amendments will improve access to justice, rights, and interests of Native American children and the tribes in legal proceedings. Also, with regard to financial relief for tribes, Native American tribes often operate with limited budgets for legal representation of their members, and pro hoc vice fees are a significant financial burden for them. The proposed waiver of these fees would alleviate financial strain, enabling the tribes to participate more effectively in legal proceedings, which are crucial for the welfare of Native American children. Thirdly, with regard to specialized legal expertise, tribal attorneys often possess specialized expertise and a knowledge that is essential for ICWA cases. Waiving of pro hoc fees in this instance would facilitate the involvement of these skilled professionals, which would promote better outcomes for Native American families. Next, we believe the proposed changes would improve courtroom equity and efficiency. By removing financial and procedural barriers, the amendments would enable earlier and more effective participation of tribal representatives in court proceedings. This could lead to quicker resolutions, saving judicial resources and reducing foster care costs for the state. And finally, with regard to federal law, we believe that the amendments we propose acknowledge the preemptive nature of federal law, the ICWA, over Nevada law and practices. It aligns with AB 444, which the Nevada legislature passed at its last session, to reflect respect for federal legislation aimed at protecting Native American rights. The second portion of the ADKT is the administrative portion that I mentioned at the beginning of my remarks. With regard to clarity, basically we are asking that the phrase "or other attorney members of the firm with which the applicant is associated" be removed from subsection 4G. This aligns with previous changes to 3B1i. It creates consistent, clear, and easily interpretable rules which reduce potential confusion and ensure uniform application. In consulting with our member services representative from the State Bar, it was her suggestion that we contemplate something like this because she was encountering confusion based upon this rule as it's currently constituted, so that was the reason for the change. And also the alignment with, if we align different sections of the rule, the amendments would promote uniformity in legal practice and simplify the application process for pro hoc vice admissions and minimize errors. Mr. Hoagie with the State Bar Council is here in the event that court has any questions about the administrative portion of it, not the ICWA portion, but the alignment portion. So. With that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Mr. Dreitzer, thank you very much for that presentation. I have one question, just a question. In 4I, one of the proposed changes in the red line that I'm looking at that was submitted with the petition would delete that subsection. So it's below the part you were just talking about, or any member of the firm. That's sub G. This, but The proposed edits would delete sub I, which requires the name of each party and name and address of counsel of record who appeared for that party. Are you aware of the reasons for that proposed deletion?
If possible, Your Honor, I'd like to ask Mr. Hoagie to address that. He might have some familiarity with the reasoning there.
Well, it takes out the residence address, but it leaves the office address. So they don't have to put their home address in.
Okay, gotcha. Good afternoon, Mr. Hoagie.
Chief Justice Kadish, this is Dan Hoagie from the State Bar of Nevada. Yeah, I see. I think the issue was a couple years ago, I'm not sure exactly when, this court had already amended Rule 42 to take out the requirement that each applicant list every attorney in their firm. And so we did that generally. I think that was in...
Sure. I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment. Sorry. My question isn't about that proposal, isn't about taking out the members of the firm, but about the proposed deletion of sub I in that same part, in that same rule.
The name of each party and the name and address of counsel of record who appeared for that party.
Right. That's what my question is about.
Actually, I don't have an answer for you on that one. I don't understand why we redlined that one.
Okay.
I could go back to Ms. Mary Jorgensen, but that isn't consistent with the idea of... I think it was more in G, you can see we're trying to get away from having the firms, but in I, it doesn't really address the firm, so I apologize. I don't know if that was... an error, but I don't think that was the intent behind that amendment.
I see Mr. Craner back there shaking his head.
Well, okay. So that's fine. It wasn't the focus of it, but I noticed it in there in preparing for today's hearing. I guess what I would ask is, say, within the next week, if you could submit something one way or the other, either saying why you do want that change or that, in fact, it was an error and you don't want that change. That makes sense?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I do know that there, just behind the scenes, so you know, there was a couple other things that were proposed by the state bar to kind of change, and the overall, the consensus was that we didn't want to do too much. We wanted this to focus on the... ICWA portion, mm-hmm. and the one other amendment was just a minor one. We didn't think would affect that. And so my guess is that this was a previous change that had been contemplated that we didn't end up keeping. And so we mistakenly left that in. So I apologize.
Okay. And that's fine, you know, if that's the case. So if you would just let us know, like, within a week from today, one way or the other, if in fact you are seeking that change, and if so, why? Or if you're not seeking that change at this time, and we can ignore it.
Absolutely, I will.
We'll Great. Do. Thanks so much. Does anyone else have any questions for Mr. Dreitzer at this time? Not seeing any here. Not.
Justice Kadish, I do have a question. This
sure.
is Justice Pickering in Las Vegas. Looking at the paragraph on... page 11, paragraph E, it's the page ahead of the one that Justice Kadish just was focusing on. Let me know when you're there, Mr. Dreitzer.
Justice Pickering, is that under verified application number 4, and that's 4E?
Yes, it is.
I'm there.
Okay. The question I had is that when you strike out the providing for pro bono representation about 4 lines down, it strikes me that you're omitting something in the existing rule that will affect people besides lawyers representing children under ICWA or parties under the ICWA amendment, and that was probably unintended because this deals with the annual fee. And so I'm wondering if that needs to be reworded a bit, because you're saying we have new language, which is fine, but then you have or acting in other similar circumstances, and then you strike providing for pro bono representation. I don't know if that's intended or not.
I think that's a great point, and we can, with the changes that Mr. Hoagie will come back to the court with, we can add this to that as well, because I take the court's point.
Well, I just don't know which way you're going with it, but I don't see a reason for the differentiation.
Understood.
Thank you.
We will fix it. Thank you.
If I may, and maybe it's a matter of figuring out the right words, but the folks representing a party in the Indian Child Welfare Act may or may not be pro bono counsel, although, you know, and so, but we may also want to keep a waiver of fees for others who are pro bono counsel. So we just have to figure out the right words, I guess.
Right. It almost sweeps too far to take out the pro bono portion and just specify ICWA. It could be worded differently. I completely get the question.
You may want to just, I mean, a suggested revision would be to leave the pro bono representation and then put subject to the Indian Child Welfare Act third, so then you don't have to strike it because it becomes awkward. And just switch the order.
Right. Understood.
I don't know.
No, that's a great suggestion. I thank the court for that.
I think that's the same issue that Justice Kadish is sort of going on.
Right. Any other comments or questions related to Mr. Dreitzer's comments today? Nope.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for bringing this forward.
Yes. It's an important
thank
issue.
Thank you, Justice. Yeah. We feel the same. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else there in Las Vegas wishing to speak today regarding this petition?
There are others here, but I don't know if any want to speak. We have Andrew Craner and then the others who've identified.
And I see him vigorously shaking his head no. Okay. All right. Do any of my colleagues have any comments or questions that they want to add before we close the hearing?
No.
Hearing and seeing none, that will close the petition for today. We'll look for just a follow-up on those couple of matters from the bar within the next week, and then we'll go ahead and issue an order regarding this petition.